Remember, you are a miracle healer. Remember these very important ideas that you have about yourself. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They're all the same. They're all expressions of love as it is maximal. Miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle, isn't it? No, miracles mean life, and God is the giver of life. And His voice will direct you very specifically. You will be told all you need to know. Prayer is the medium of miracles. It's a means of communication of the created with the Creator. Through prayer, love is received, and through miracles, love is expressed. A miracle is a service. It is the maximal service that you can render to another. It's a way of loving your neighbor as yourself. You recognize your own and your neighbor's worth simultaneously. Miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or body level of experience or the higher or spiritual level of experience. One makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual. Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the body's level. That is why they heal. Miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the offer of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle. Listen, I inspire all miracles, which are really intercessions. They intercede for your holiness and make your perception holy. By placing you beyond the physical laws, they raise you into the sphere of celestial order. In this order, you're perfect. A miracle is a universal blessing from God through me to all my brothers. It is the privilege of the forgiven to forgive. Miracles are natural signs of forgiveness. Through miracles, you accept God's forgiveness by extending it to others. Miracles praise God through you. They praise Him by honoring His creations and affirm their perfection. They heal because they deny body identification and affirm spiritual identification. Listen, a miracle is a correction introduced into false teaching by me. It acts as a catalyst, breaking up erroneous perception and reorganizing it properly. This places you under the atonement principle where perception is healed. Until this occurs, knowledge of the divine order is impossible. Miracles honor you because you're lovable. They dispel illusions about yourself and perceive the light in you. They thus atone for your errors by freeing you from your own nightmares. By releasing your mind from the imprisonment of your illusion, they restore you to sanity. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the mechanism of miracles. He recognizes both God's creations and your illusion. He separates the true from the false by his ability to perceive totally rather than selectively. The Holy Spirit is the highest communication medium. Miracles do not involve this type of communication because they are temporary communication devices. When you return to your original form of communication with God by direct revelation, the need for miracles is over. A miracle is an expression of an inner awareness of Christ and the acceptance of his atonement. A major contribution of miracles is their strength in releasing you from your false sense of isolation, deprivation, and lack. A miracle is never lost. It may touch many people you have not even met and produce undreamed of changes in situations of which you're not even aware. The miracle is the only device at your immediate disposal for controlling time. Only revelation transcends it, having nothing to do with time at all. Now, the miracle is a learning device that lessens the need for time because it establishes an out-of-pattern time interval, not under the usual laws of time. In this sense, it is timeless. Miracles are both beginnings and endings, and so they alter the temporal order. They are always affirmations of rebirth, which seems to go back, but really goes forward. They undo the past in the present, and thus release the future. Miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead because you make sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. You are a miracle, capable of creating in the likeness of your Creator. Everything else is your own nightmare and does not exist. Only the creations of light are real. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. Yeah. Now, the activity by which we intend to heal the sick and raise the dead are being performed in the nature of producing in our mind the immediacy of an alternative which is available to us in the idea, and this is the structure of this, that the reflections of light that I'm getting in the process of being this body formulation as a teacher of the miracles. Do you hear what I said? As a teacher of the miracles, I'm whole and perfect as I was created. At that point, within the process of the idea that you are mind, okay, body, and spirit. I'm happy to see that you've decided to make application of what appears to be your body formulation in the idea that the body formulation at any single moment is actually just a passage from the idea of the concreteness of your body form. So beautifully read by my good friend Deepa, that we're going to look just for a second at how the miracle actually works. It'll take us just a minute. Because I assure you that I'm not going to be a body within the framework of what I intend to do. 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 Let's look a little bit, real quickly, at what a miracle really is then. Because there's no question that it seems to you that you're solid in your body form. Doesn't that? In other words, I'm teaching you that the elements of time that appear to be passing, okay, when I came in here and sat down, all right, are actually only going on at the moment that I sat. Now, if you look at what the reference I'm trying to teach you is, okay, you can see that the manner of the replication of my body is actually going on precisely and only at this moment. Yet I retain a body structure of myself by assuming a role of what we call solidness, okay, or wholeness, or body formulation. You listen to my entire teaching to you. The entire teaching of what we term Homo sapien, there's always a wholeness in him, in the idea that he's a body formulation. Now, in what we would call the healing of the body, I must show you that at any single moment, you can assume that title. Now, listen with me. Okay. Listen about what Deepak says about that. It's been said since the beginning of time. It's been said since the idea that you have a solid body came into the idea of the consciousness of yourself. Listen with me. Listen. You have a prejudice in your mind that you are a body, and this is what you need to get over. It's the idea in favor of things that appear to be concrete or tangible and three-dimensional. We feel that a rock is real because it's solid and heavy, and our senses can easily locate it in space and time. So what are we to make of a reality where seeing isn't believing? Our senses play the same trick with reality at large in what we are. Our brains are too slow to register that every concrete object is winking in and out of existence at the quantum level, thousands of times per second. Therefore, we see solid objects where none actually exist. Can we reinvent ourselves in light of non-sensory reality? Or are we to be prisoners of the five senses, as much as our ancestors were in prehistory? Every time we repeat the word sunrise and sunset, we're indulging in a sensory deception. Here's another. Experiment is done in which a group of subjects are put in front of a tape recorder and they're asked to write down what the voice on the tape says. The only thing that I can tell you in the certainty of you is every idea you have in your mind is a part of the condition in which you are reciting to yourself the totality of the idea. This is why, how you learned the Course in Miracles, that the memory of the repetition of yourself is going on simultaneously at this time in the factoring that express what you are. Now, I'm going to teach about myself for a moment, and I'm going to include someone perhaps who you know very well in the conceptual attitude of how he believes he can foster the idea of a reappearance of Jesus. It came up this morning. And the reason it came up is because you have all sorts of spiritual teachers who are offering you solutions by examining the possibility that they are body form. When they examine the possibility, I'm going to use someone who perhaps you've heard of. His name is Billy Graham. Can you recognize that face? Now, can I recognize that face? Yeah, it looks like he's gotten older than he was as I remember him 50 years ago. Now, it may appear to you that I don't appear within the idea of myself quite as old as he does. Actually, I see him as a very vital, in the 1950s, as a vital mind that stood up and said, Jesus is resurrected and is whole. Now, the moment he began to teach it, Billy Graham, this is in this article, suffered from a condition of the necessity for a judgment of what was occurring in the world. This is a nice idea. This article says he's getting old and he's going to die. He's not getting old and he's not going to die. That from Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus will say to him that I went through all of the necessity for the replication of yourself. So the next thing you know, there you are with Eisenhower, or there you are with somebody you hate or somebody you love. Why? You have become judgmental. Here's the problem you have. Say to me, through the use of God.
Through the use of God.
And you struggle a great deal, as all human beings do, with the idea that God, all right, is judging you. And it's very difficult. Now, suddenly, out of nowhere, are appearing teachers of Jesus who are saying to you very emphatically that God doesn't judge. You don't like it. All of healing that occurs, you are going to have to look at in the totality of your individual responsibility as you conceive of yourself to judge. Now, the investment that I offer you that God does not judge, you immediately are rejecting. Now, what's happening here with this, our friend here, Deepak, he knows perfectly well that in his mind, in the mind training, that Jesus was resurrected. All of the articles, all of the statements of 2,000 years say that he underwent a death experience in which his body form appeared, okay, to be laid in the grave, yet when they examined it, he was risen. He was in a different cycle of time. Now, the question that's going to arise, and why you've turned me off and rejected me, shall I teach for a minute? God's not judging you. That's beginning to happen in this world, in what we call the Course in Miracles. There was a story about Billy Graham, actually, or anyone that you would want to look at with the certainty that you're healed and whole and perfect. Yet you seem to believe that God, who is judging you, is going to distinguish between your goodness and your badness, your life and your death. That's why you need the mind training. You need to train your mind systematically to actually look at the idea of what this said. Does Jesus say it? Oh, he says it real emphatically. Well, it takes us 30 seconds to read the idea that God is not going to judge you. Now, your response already to me, come on, is you no longer want to attend my church. You don't want to attend my church because the evil guy is going to get to the heaven from hell as fast as you are. You don't like it. Don't tell me you do, because you're already defending the idea that if God doesn't judge you, why am I here at all? And I'm going to answer for you the way that finally Jesus teaches it and the way I teach it. Say to me, I'm judging myself. Of course. Now, you don't mind that in the fundamental principle that judgment is possible. Okay, but in your judgment, you continue to distinguish between in time the possibility that what is here now is remembered in your past association and projected into the future. How are you ever going to be healed? How can you be whole if you retain in your mind the idea of a body formulation? Here's listen to about 1 minute of the New Testament in which John speaks to you. Jesus answers and says to him in John 5, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord except what he sees the Father doing. For the things which the Father does, the same the Son does like him also. For the Father loves his Son, and he shows him everything that he does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may marvel at the miracle that's occurring. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to those whom he will." Now begins the struggle, for the Father does not judge any man. He rejected it, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, who you will become in your own revelation, so that every man should honor the Son just as he honors the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has everlasting life, and he does not come before the judgment, for he passes from death to life. Can you get it? This is going on right now. The time is coming, and it is now already here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so has he given to the Son also to have life in himself. Now he has given him authority to exercise judgment also, for he is the Son of Man. The reason that I'm using conceptual ideas in this, I put in a call to Billy Graham today. Okay, many, many teachers, all right, have acknowledged healing capacities that are occurring in him. This is how I was healed. Okay, no, it's associated with the idea that I'm going to lose my body form. Now I'm faced with the idea that you Christians are teaching me, well, when I die, I'll go to heaven. Okay, when I die, if I've been good, I'll go to heaven. No, it's not when you die, you're going to go to heaven. It is, there's no such thing as death. And this is where we part company. Do you see that? The teaching of the mechanism that you're not a body and the teaching of the formation of this. Now, the question is going to arise, and I'm going to have to assume the title of being a teacher of God. The scripture that I read you at the beginning are indications of the idea of what a miracle is. Use the term I. In that sense, I'm using the term I in regard to Jesus. Has Billy Graham taught this? He's taught this for 60 years. He's as old as I am. Yeah. Does he remember the Second World War? Does he remember all the pain and death that went on? Does he remember the number of death experiences? I'm speaking of myself now, not someone else. Then now, come on, you want to hear me if I expose myself? I'm speaking of death experiences that I went through. Do I remember having them? Sure. Does everyone here remember having death experience? Yes, because he's teaching from his mind the certainty that whatever is occurring will be manifest in decisions of memory that is making and is making about himself. Now, Billy Graham says the resurrection has occurred. All I'm doing is agreeing with him. He has to come to the point where he says, I'm not going to judge and I'm not going to attempt to distinguish between evil and good. Now, it's almost impossible for you to do that without having a revelation of determination of forgiveness. And it's going to be based on suddenly an occurrence in your mind that allows you to see everything that's happening in the entirety of your association of the miracle are voices that you heard, and this is John 5, and the idea that walking with you in the light is Jesus. There he is. Now, some of you flashed in your mind the idea that you saw Jesus. And this is for Billy. I'm going to send in the video. Because what he says in the thing is, I'm just tired of judging. He says, I'm tired of looking at the present. What he's really saying in his mind, I guess I'm going to have to die. All I want to tell him, if you want to hear it, any guy who's going to stand up and teach with the power that he employs in the activity that there is a final judgment that's going to occur, this is what they're trying to accomplish today. It's really not concerning about the idea of the reflection of light, because the reflection of light that I'm getting from you when I came in and occupied this chair, with the distance between the occupancy of myself. There you did it. Because you have a memory of your mind of when this chair was empty. Yet the only memory you can have of it are me sitting down. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to teach how miracle healing actually occurs in your body form. Because somewhere you think you're a body. And when you think you're a body, you will be a memory of an empty chair that you suddenly must sit in a relative distance between the time that it takes you to sit down and the space that you find yourself in. I'll be right back. I'll be right back to teach the miracle of healing that's going on in the certainty of the principles that the miracle has been successful in showing you a new you. A brand new you is emerging right now. Right here, in the memory that you hold with me. This is healing.
I love you. That's the song of songs. And it all belongs to you and me.
There is only love. What I'm showing you is that our minds are beginning to communicate. Our minds, not our bodies. Billy Graham, you think you're not that body. You and I are communicating with our minds. Just a moment, my guarantee that the love that I'm feeling, obviously it's the love of the universe. It's the only thing in reality that there is. Okay. Now, the repeating of this that's occurring here now in the miracle of the teaching require the use of your conceptual self to see that the love that I'm feeling deep within me is being extended from me in the totality of what I am. And in that totality, I'm not a body. Now, I may continue to foster the idea of an old association in time. I mean, I'm going to teach it. I'll use Deepak Chopra. No, there's no one who, gathering thousands of people, is expressing better than the fundamental teaching of Billy Graham. The problem is not that. The problem is it requires, say to me, miracle. Now say to me, action. It requires the action of the conversion of what appears to be a replication of reflections of light that make you or Deepak or anyone, you on the camera, you look good. Now you're using a camera to get a reflection of what's going to represent the thoughts that I have that are actually standing between us. There was a miracle right there. Where suddenly out of nowhere you came. All right, you came. Literally out of nowhere, because until you get a true reflection, Billy Graham or whoever will think that he's a body form and he's going to get old and he's going to die. Here's how Deepak handles it in the idea of the resurrection of Jesus. Listen with me. So the basic way we need to reinvent perception is to realize that the five senses are totally illusionary. The good news being that we can transcend them. In fact, we do this every day. I'm not being mystical, although it's true that God has managed the feat of being invisible and worshiped at the same time. I'm thinking of something as basic as sight. We say that seeing is believing, and yet no one knows what seeing actually is. There is no light inside the visual cortex, which is responsible for sight, that area of the brain. Like every other, in an oatmeal consistency, semi-solid mass that knows only perceptual darkness. This is the whole idea of the teaching. There are no pictures in our brains, only a firestorm of chemical and electrical signals. How we convert photons striking the retina into visible reality is totally unknown to us. That's why we call it a miracle. And since the same holds true for the other four senses, reality itself is up for grabs. Uncertainty reigns, and where there is uncertainty, there's a chance for freedom if I can get you to change your mind. A famous guru once told his followers, reality is like a net. If you want to escape it, find a hole and jump through it. I'm back with you. Thank you for that. Because I intend to teach you with the power of my last totality of dark sequences that I do not intend to permit the idea that the sense of light that's required for me to see you cannot not be an investment of how my mind is. No, I'm offering you the solution that when you came from university of the entirety of you, in the sense that contained within you is the wholeness of you, you underwent a natural experience, let's use some time, in the 40,000 year cycle of a universe that is, 14,000 million years old, you suddenly have in you a recognition of who you are. Now, at that time, you have invested in time. All I'm attempting to do is show you where a moment ago that chair was empty, all right? Here, I'm gonna try it with you. Watch me, here. Whoa, yeah, there I'm gonna do it. Here I came in here. Now, the distance between us, it would appear in your memory as though this chair is empty. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, you're going to project into the future. Here, I'm going to sit down with you now. the idea, now in your investment in the idea of reality, the chair appears to be occupied by me. Now, it is occupied by me. So you make a comparison of yourself in the solidness of a chair. I'm going to show you how to create miracles and how I heal the sick. This is actually a condition. Okay, this is a holy chair. Can you get this? This is a position in your body form. This is how the Homo sapien works. He believes there is power in the decision that he makes to invest in alternatives within his own mind. The problem that he suffers from is that he gives value to the chair that he just sat down in. It has no value except what he then gives it in the idea of the sequencing in time. Deepak teaches this very beautifully. There isn't anything new about the idea. When you occupy a point in space and time, you occupy it not only in time, but in the space that you occupy. All right, here's what I'm offering you. Time only lasts for a moment in your mind. This is a miracle. And it's going to be over each moment. Now, you remember. Now you're going to write it. What are you going to do? Write a manuscript about the old man? They call me the teacher. Okay? Because in the next 2,000 years, and this is Jesus is reappearing here now, you invest in the idea that not only do I reappear within what appears to be a moment that lasted before we journeyed out in the universe, the lasting of it is what space is. Now, the totality of the idea that I can recognize myself are within me. Now, if you are in a concept of seeing me sitting in this chair, I'll use Billy Graham. Jesus, do you understand that there are voices speaking to you? I'm teaching New Testament here. There's no question that the voice from Jesus who is speaking to you, spoke to Paul of Tarsus, says very simply, why are you persecuting me? You gotta love your neighbors. You gotta love everybody because that's how you get out of here. There's no question that you have it conceptually. The question is, the idea of associating with separation of cause and effect will give you a visionary, as I just read you in Deepak, that you believe that your body is solid, and it's not solid. It's completely illusionary. Now, we're setting up parameters that will alter the space-time situation in which you find yourself. Can you see that? Let's listen. Listen to the idea of the new power that you are being endowed with, that while it contains judgment, it contains the certainty that the distance between your coming here and leaving are going on simultaneously with this. Here's what's happening each day, and every minute in each day, and every instant that each minute holds. You but relive the single instant when the time of fear and loneliness and death took the place of love. And so you die each day to live again, until you cross the gap between the past and the present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life, a seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again, a repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived, and all of time is but a mad belief that what is over is still here and now. Forgive the past, let it go, it's gone. You stand no longer on the ground that lies between the worlds. You have gone on and reached the world that lies at heaven's gate. There is no hindrance to the will of God, nor any need that you repeat again, again, and again, a journey that was over long ago. Look gently on your brother, and behold the world in which perception of your hate has been transformed into a world of love. You know, the surprising thing about this and the idea that I'm teaching, there's a guy who needs a little training. He's still around. His name is Oral Roberts. One of the young beauties began to discover the idea that there is actually no distance between himself and his concept, and that everybody is going to go to heaven. Now, while that seems perfectly reasoned to you, I mean, he's Oral, who's one of the oldest consciousnesses that I know, teaches and preaches of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The problem that he has and still is having, all right, is that he believes that God is going to judge him. So the guy he's a lovely guy. He had an experience. I had an experience. We had experiences where we begin to teach the fundamental nature that the healing of our body is going on simultaneously because God is not judging us. Now, everybody likes the idea. Oral, I guess, wrote this guy a letter and said, my whole principle is teaching that we're going to suffer and that there's sin and some guys are in pain and some guys are good. That's exactly what Jesus does not teach. You don't like it because it requires your individual experience so that you can see. Let's use the 80-year-old man again. I don't get old. I'm not going to get sick and I'm not going to die. The memory that I have of you within what you call the idiot savant will include recognition of my capacity in our Course in Miracles to download into your conceptual mind the totality of raising the frequency, Oral Roberts, that I'm teaching Jesus Christ in his physical reappearance of his body form. And the world does everything in a 2,000 year cycle. You gotta remember, guys, 2,000 years is just a blinking of your mind. There's no question that the investment that you're making will let you see the wholeness of you. Listen with me, we'll read just a little bit more about the idea of how your physical body works. The body is a fence that the Son of God imagines he has built to separate parts of himself from other parts. It's within this fence he thinks he lives, to die as it decays and crumbles. For within the fence, he thinks he's safe from love. Identifying with his safety, he regards himself as what his safety is. How else could he be certain he remains within the body, keeping love outside? I'm back for a moment because the fundamental teaching of Jesus is that if you can see another body out there, it's necessary for you to forgive him, very simply because the body that's out there is actually you, Oral Roberts. Now, I love him. I listen to him. I love the idea of standing up and haranguing the crowd, yet you're using a form of judgment in which you continue to distinguish in your mind. Now, the quotations from Jesus, all right, of the certainty that your body can be healed and perfect at any moment are within the vocabulary of what I'm offering you. Yet it is not the vocabulary where the idea of separation lies, but in the realization, in the moment of what you term crucifixion and death, you resurrect because it's over. Okay, let's make a comparison, a little more here about your body. Let's sit down for a moment. I want you to feel the idea that you're actually examining it. You couldn't possibly be denying me. If you're presuming that you're going to teach the idea of the resurrection, your body is changing all the time anyway. Now, this may be a good example of why up until now I have not attempted to teach it, because I was with Deepak and he's written dozens of books. I wrote all about Jesus. I've written as many books as anyone has ever written a book, because it's going to be a storyline about what we are. Now, you're going to expose me as being in World War II of suffering and dying. I did. I have vivid memories of undergoing a death experience and not being dead. All of us have had this, and there's nothing new about this. I'm just reminding you that the music that I've been playing, going back to 1940 and 41, and the idea of that little short 80, 60 year interval, are memories that are in my mind. Can I as well remember the reappearance of Jesus in what appeared to be a dead body that was not resurrected? Sure. Listen, I'll read you just a little bit more about the fence that you built around your body to protect it in order that you can die. Because you believe if you release the fence, okay, you'll be dead. So you hold on to the idea of space-time and live within that sequence of time. The body will not stay. Yet this he sees as double safety, for the Son of God's impermanence is proof that his fences work and do the task his mind assigns to them. For if his oneness still remains untouched, who could attack? Who could be attacked? Who would be the victor? Who would be his prey? Who could be the victim? Who could be the murderer? If he did not die, what proof is there that God's eternal Son can be destroyed? Now, I'm going to teach for a minute because obviously this is the transition in the idea that the accumulation of individual memories will shorten the idea that there is such a thing as space-time. Now, if there is space-time, it is going to be just as perfect within its association as the universe of life is, because the universe of life is singular. So that's why you need what Jesus calls the training of your mind to a new decision I can make so that I can bring about with you an agreement that I'm changing my body form. Now, you're going to do everything I can. This was in the Idiot Savant. I'm going to do it. I have 3 minutes in which to teach the idea inside the mind of an Indian savant. And I told him I was going to go over and demonstrate that I'm not an 80-year-old body. Yet I have a memory in me through our Course in Miracles that I'm not. This is inside the mind of an Indian savant. And you say, I've never heard of him, haven't you? He has a capacity of memory that will amaze you. The capacity of memory that Helen Schuckman expresses, although she's very fearful of it, that the message from the New Testament is offering the entirety of the solution are what you are fearful of. Here's an example of what the Idiot Savant does. Now everybody says, well, I can't do that. That's nonsense. You can do anything you want in your conception, can't you? Yeah. Listen with me. Here's an idea that's so ridiculous that you're not a part of it. You can pull facts out of your mental library contained in the human being. He can indeed pull a fact from his mental library as fast as a search engine can mine the internet. He read Tom Clancy's The Hunt for Red October in 1 hour and 25 minutes. 4 months later, when asked, he gave the name of the Russian radio operator in the book, referring to the page describing the character and quoting several passages verbatim. He began memorizing books at the age of 18 months as they were read to him. He has learned 9,000 books by heart so far. He reads a page in 8 to 10 seconds and places the memorized book upside down on the shelf to signify that it's now on his mental hard drive. Listen, Kim's memory extends to at least 15 interests, among them world and American history and movies, space programs, actors and actresses, the Bible, church history, literature, Shakespeare and classical music. He knows all of the area codes and zip codes in the United States together with the television stations serving their locations. He learned the maps in the front of phone books and can provide traveling directions within any major U.S. city. He can identify hundreds of classical compositions, tell when and where each was composed and first performed, and give the names of the composers. Now, most intriguing this is, and it is, he appears to be developing a new skill in middle life, where before he could merely talk about music, for the past 2 years he's been learning to play. It's the entirety of my teaching. No matter how much you struggle as a Homo sapien, the idea that your split mind, which is a memory, utilizes a separate idea does not mean you're not accumulating the knowledge. It means simply that you don't know how to use it in the idea of a body form. Now, here's actually what happens. I'm going to teach for about 3 minutes. Appearing all around you are a combination of the capacity by which you are remembering a relationship contained within your body form. Now, the gradual accumulation of the power of you to remember at any moment the history of you is fundamentally what Homo sapien is. From the beginning in time, the invention of alternatives expressed it to you, all right? One more sentence about the idea of how your body works. Okay. The body's a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it. But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for. The body is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. Though it was made to fence him into hell without escape, yet has the goal of heaven been exchanged for the pursuit of hell. The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. Now is the body holy. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill. You will identify with what you think will make you safe. Whatever it may be, you will believe that it is one with you. Your safety lies in truth and not in lies. Love is your safety, because fear does not exist. Identify with love and you're safe. Identify with love and you are home. Identify with love and find yourself. In our Course in Miracles, in the history of the manner in which we are attempting to present to you the reasonableness of the realization that the concept of yourself is individually within the entirety of your mind, but in your need to protect it have been your fear of the necessity to project it out from you, so that now there appears to be another body association. The entirety of the teaching of my Savior Jesus is to love the world with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love you, my neighbor, the guy that's next to me as myself, for simply because the guy next to me is myself. This is how I can heal you if you'll let me within the framework and let's use Oral Roberts, who is a great healer. Does he heal? Sure. Yet he needs to correspond to the necessity of how the healing occurred. What difference does it make how it occurred? Okay, if he is risen within the body formulation, you must practice within your own mind the certainty as the cause of this, that if you don't judge your relationship with God, that you will increase frequencies of the love that I'm feeling for you. This is the miracle of the transformation of the body formulation that's occurring in our Course in Miracles. Thank you for allowing me to present you. There may well be a series now, because if I'm going to go out as this teacher, I'm going to be confronted by you who are determined to judge. I heard somebody say to me, "You mean Adolf Hitler is going to get into heaven as well as I am?" The answer to that is, of course. You don't like that answer, and I don't blame you. But remember, the judgment is going on in your mind, and that's why we teach what forgiveness is. That's why we teach the certainty that you're whole and perfect and that this world is over. And now, when I reappear here with you, I love you immediately. I don't need to give you a separate identity for myself. I have enough problems in the tear that I felt in the moment of the destruction of me that immediately results in a repetition of myself. I'll see you in a moment. I'm scheduled to see you in 24-26. What I'm going to do is just increase the frequency, because everything that has happened has already happened anyway. That way we can see each other. That way we can see each other. Each other. In the love.